You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
From the 12th floor of 50 Pin Place in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, the home of 1340 The Game and News Radio 1000 KTOK, welcome to another episode of the Locked On Sooners podcast. I am your gracious and humble host, Derek G, saying thank you so much for making us a part of your day. Whether you're listening on Sunday night or Monday morning, we're thankful that you've got Locked On Sooners in your queue. And the reason we do a Sunday Sooners is twofold. There's two reasons we do this podcast on Sunday. One, to take a deep breath, get a chance to look at the game again on DVR and see if what we saw is actually what we saw. So we let everybody else have the instant reaction. And then two, Monday is Lincoln Riley and player media availability. So gives us some time to get down to Norman and capture all that audio so we can come back and play it on Tuesday's podcast. And if there is a chance I can pod on Monday, I will do it as well. And I try and give you as much content as possible. So let me tell you what's coming up on today's show. You will get to hear Lincoln Riley talk about the days of Kyler Murray and Marquise Brown. Kyler Murray having another Heisman day. We'll look at his stats. We'll look at what he did right. But there is another guy starting to emerge as the most consistent player on offense for OU and maybe separating himself as far as becoming the most valuable player on OU's football team. And speaking of most valuable player, in segment number three, we'll give you an update on our poll for the most valuable Sooner. We'll give you the final poll on Tuesday's podcast, but we'll give you an update on the poll and give you a chance to vote on it throughout the rest of the day, today, which just happens to be Sunday, if in fact you are listening on Sunday. And then in segment number two, you get to hear Mike Stoops and just how discouraged does he sound about the defensive performance, how worried do we need to be about the defensive performance, and what is going on with the Will linebacker position. Yes, we know Buzzy Bolton has separated himself and he is the number one guy, but what's going on with that number two spot? Why aren't we seeing Levi Draper? And more importantly, what's up with Caleb Kelly? Is OU going to redshirt him? We'll let Lincoln Riley and Mike Stoops tell you that. And finally, in segment number three, the Big 12 got a little redemption on Saturday. Who had the biggest win? Well, obviously it was Texas, but who followed Texas at really making some hay for the conference? We'll tell you that as well. My name's Eric G. I am the co-host of Saturday Game Day with Randy Renner on 1340 The Game and News Radio 1000 KTOK. That is via iHeartMedia, and so you can always get that on the iHeartRadio app. Hopefully I didn't slur my words there too much. And I will also tell you that that starts at 5 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays on KTOK, and at 9 o'clock in the morning on 1340 The Game, and around the state at different times via the Oklahoma News Network. So do me a favor and check that out. I've covered OU for 4 1/3 years, and I'm a credentialed member of the media, and the Locked On Podcast Network likes me to tell you those things. Now we jump into the heart of what's going on with the Oklahoma Sooners. Yesterday, they get a win 37-27 over Iowa State. No, they didn't cover the spread. No, it wasn't the best showing for the defense after having two stellar performances against Florida Atlantic and UCLA. And remember, going into this game, both Mike Stoops and Lincoln Riley had not felt the defense had been tested. They also felt like there were some things that could be corrected on film. One of those is tackling, and it showed up big time in yesterday's game. But this is the positive segment. We'll get to the tackling or lack thereof in segment number two. This is the positive segment, and what was positive yesterday? Well, it was the Oklahoma offense and Kyler Murray being, well, Kyler Murray yesterday and having another tremendous day. What did Kyler Murray do yesterday? In fact, Kyler Murray averaged 5 yards a carry, ran for 77 yards. Also, when he wanted to go through the air and get his receivers, 348 yards, 3 TDs, and no interceptions. You would have thought with the reaction of OU fans yesterday, Kyler Murray would have thrown 2 or 3 interceptions. That wasn't the case. The guy he was hooking up with the most, well, it was Marquise Brown, who had another incredible day, 191 yards, 180 plus of those coming in the first half yesterday. Only one touchdown for Marquise Brown, but he's starting to emerge as the most valuable player on this team. And the reason I say that is there is no player aside from Kyler Murray that is as consistent week in, week out as Marquise Brown has been through the first 3 weeks of the season, and he is proving that he has tremendous big play capability. And while we were so fixated on CeeDee Lamb and what he could do not only as a receiver but in the special teams, Marquise has really stepped up into the spotlight and taken that on. And for as good as Kyler Murray is, and Kyler Murray's definitely got himself into the Heisman talk, and every week he continues to perform the way that he does, his Heisman chances just increase. Marquise Brown's a guy that OU has come to rely on, and here is Lincoln Riley talking about Hollywood.
Yeah, he had, I guess they said he had a bunch at half. I knew he had the big one. I knew he's playing well and had some big plays. I didn't know he had, he had what, 189 at half? Yeah, so, that's a pretty good half. He's playing good. Yeah, he's just more complete right now. He's not just the deep ball guy. He's catching things underneath. He's making some people miss. He's making competitive catches. He's playing well for us.
He's playing well? He's playing well for you. No, man, this dude is playing beyond well. Whatever that next level is above great, that's what Marquise Brown is doing for OU right now. It's not just playing well, it's playing great. There's a chemistry between him and Kyler Murray that is starting to develop, and he is the guy you can count on game in, game out to give you a couple, two, three big plays. And certainly the defense has got to account for him. And with the defense having to concentrate on him so much, it should just open it up for everybody else. Speaking of CeeDee Lamb, I'm surprised that guy got back into the game yesterday after getting depleted. And I can't remember if that was in the first or second quarter. And you know what? I bet CeeDee Lamb can't remember if that was in the first or second quarter. But he took a hell of a hit, and it was good to see him bounce back. As far as Kyler Murray goes, he continues to impress. Here is Lincoln Riley on Kyler Murray's day.
Yeah, no, he played well. He played well. He had a good, calm demeanor the whole day. You know, really saw, defensively what was happening, really understood how we wanted to attack it. Again, threw the ball extremely well. Made some big plays where it counted. He ran the ball well. You're going to get into some scramble-type situations. I thought for the most part we protected pretty well the whole day. You're going to get some scramble-type situations against teams like that. And, he's growing, no doubt. He can play better, but he's leading our team. He's leading our offense right now and doing a pretty darn good job.
Not being able to go to Ames and being forced to watch yesterday's game on TV, it was fun to listen to the commentators, which were Dave Pasch and Greg McElroy, and hear how Greg McElroy was really impressed with Kyler Murray. And I am surprised. I am surprised now that after the first two games, people don't get that this kid is that good. How can you follow college football that closely, Greg McElroy, and still not know how good Kyler Murray is? And I heard the comments about, well, Baker Mayfield was so big to this team and he was so big in the community and I just didn't know how they were going to react. I'm not going to call that Alabama arrogance because I believe that would be very unfair to Greg McElroy, but it just shows you that he doesn't follow OU all that closely and he doesn't realize just how well stacked OU is starting to get in recruiting and just how from one year to the next you're going to notice some drop off in some areas, but not a ton. I mean, that depth is just, it's there because of the great job of development and the great job of recruiting that these coaches continue to do. And as Kyler Murray starts moving up in the Heisman race, how can you be caught off guard by his throwing ability yesterday? The running backs, I thought they played very well in place of Rodney Anderson. Trey Sermon, 74 yards and a touchdown yesterday, looked well. Marcellus Sutton with the hurdle was extremely impressive, so they played well. And we might as well listen to Lincoln Riley talk about not only Kyler Murray, but the running backs and what they were able to do against Iowa State.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty good. Obviously had to do it more, and it's the first time he's played the whole game too, so there's just going to be more of it from that. But I thought he was pretty good with it. There was a couple things that that I didn't do very well schematically to put him in position to just things I got to do better. Let's not get too much into it. But, yeah, no, I think he continues to have a good feel. I mean, he's always looking to throw. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But when it is overplayed, he's dynamic. And, you know, he's making big plays and he's taking care of the ball. No, I don't think so. I think they played about like we would have expected. They were tough. We ran very physical. We held on to the ball. We blocked well. I mean, you know, had some explosive plays. I think they'll – and those guys are just going to continue to get better. You know, you've had a chunk of reps that have been going to Rodney, but now all of a sudden Trey Sermon's getting more work, Sutton, Pledger, Brooks, all of them. So they're going to continue to grow. They're going to continue to get better. But I thought it was a great start for kind of the new-look group now.
And again, I don't worry about the running backs without Rodney Anderson there because I believe these guys are good enough to carry the load and there's just enough good skill players that Kyler Murray can find and take advantage of it and that you're sort of faced every week going into the games with OU as a defensive coordinator picking which part of OU's offense you're going to concede to. Are you going to concede to the run? Are you going to concede to the pass? And to follow up on what Lincoln Riley was saying about Kyler Murray and his ability to run, I did agree with some of the commentary yesterday that you don't want to run him too much because you don't want this guy getting banged up with it being a long season. Still, when Kyler Murray runs, for the most part, it's because something's broken down in the passing game, and Lincoln Riley talked about it there. I also think it was great that Lincoln Riley opened up and took some ownership of not putting Kyler Murray necessarily in the right places to make right plays. And one other note from yesterday is we got to wrap up here in the first segment. I did notice that Jonathan Alvarez got an opportunity to start yesterday at center, but we did also see a lot of Creed Humphrey. So I'm just going to take Lincoln Riley's word at that, not be as cynical and say that, yes, maybe it is a battle week in, week out, or it may just be a case because Jonathan Alvarez has been so loyal to this program, Lincoln Riley feels like giving him an opportunity, but knowing ultimately that's Creed Humphrey's job. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I am Eric G. And real quick, I want to tell you about my good friends at MyBookie, because ever since I've been doing this podcast, there's a lot of people that ask me for advice. Mainly, they ask me for advice on how to do a podcast, and I'm grateful. I'm glad they don't ask me advice on how to pick games, because I'm terrible at it. But if you're not terrible at it and you know who's going to win, then there's only one place for you to go, and that's MyBookie.com. And the only reason that I'm recommending this to you is because I know that when you win, they pay. They're not going to screw you around like a lot of other websites will. They have in-game betting. They have live over-unders. They've got fantasy points. They've got all the player perks you could possibly want. Plus, if you wait until after 7 o'clock Eastern time, okay, if you wait till after 7 o'clock Eastern time, they will give you an additional $25 to play free on. That's right. MyBookie is slammed with new bettors, and they want to give everyone the best possible service they can. So join now and play free on deposits over $100. And if you do it after 7 o'clock Eastern time, you'll get an extra $25 to play. Just use the promo code Locked On. So if you're willing to hold out until 7 o'clock, you can get an extra $25. And when you're creating your account, you can claim up to $1,000. That's right, $1,000 in free play. So just make sure you enter that code Locked On. And then after 7, enter the code Locked On and 25. You play, you win, you get paid. It's MyBookie.com. Coming up next, how discouraged is Mike Stoops about the defensive play? You'll find out here on Locked On Sooners.
You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast.
This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I am Eric G. We are part of the Locked On Network. We are your number one local podcast network, and we are your team every day. Monday through Friday, there is a Locked On Sooners podcast. However, we are doing this one on Sunday, and we do it on Sunday night, so it kind of takes you into Monday morning. Either way, our next podcast is coming up on Tuesday, but it's close to being, it's 5 days a week. I guess it's essentially what I'm saying here. And I thank you so much for listening to us as we talk about OU football and get this thing going and growing. And it's cool to see the interaction. Follow us at Locked On Sooners and vote for our most valuable Sooner at Locked On Sooners on our Twitter account. So the big thing to remember from yesterday is that OU is still 1-0 in the Big 12. They are still undefeated. They went on the road. They got a 10-point win. No, they didn't cover the spread, but they won by 10. It was a decisive win. And yes, they needed a little help from Austin Seibert to seal the deal. And no, it wasn't the best day at all for tackling. And there was a fourth and long that was given up, or as I like to call it, a fourth and stoops. Still, OU's defense is playing a hell of a lot better than what it's done the last couple of years. So I'm staying positive. I'm not going to jump on the fire Mike Stoops bandwagon just yet. If things start to go downhill and the tackling doesn't get better from here on out, then yes, I will probably end up joining a lot of you who are on that bandwagon. But for now, I just take it as a game. It's a learning experience, especially for the young guys in the secondary. And you know what? Mike Stoops. I've seen Mike Stoops discouraged. I was there in the press conference after that debacle against Texas Tech a couple of years ago. And this go-around, Mike doesn't seem too upset with the way things went down at Iowa State, even with the secondary, whom he thinks needs to get better.
A little bit. Yeah, we got a young secondary. They went up against somebody that can really throw the ball. And they have experience. 18 was a, Butler was a good player. We knew that. Probably the most, by far and away, the disappointing part was the tackling. I thought we missed a lot of tackles. I didn't think we aligned well in a lot of situations. That's what bothered me probably. Even in our schemes, we got a little bit, disjointed. They do a lot of things. They move their personnel around to create, some movement in your defense. And just didn't get, we didn't do the little things, well enough, as good as we can. So it's going to be a good learning experience for us. And we did what we had to do. I mean, going on the road, we knew this would be tough with a young group of secondary guys, and I thought overall they really competed hard. We just got beat on some balls, got to be in better position.
Take encouragement from the fact that everything that OU did yesterday or didn't do yesterday is at least correctable, and it's not a matter of not having the talent. It's just a matter of guys needing to be executed. The other thing that Lincoln Riley did say yesterday is that he felt like guys were in place all day long. He didn't feel like anything was out of place. We know that that's been a problem with OU, but as discouraging as it may have been, I still believe there's more upside to the way that the defense played than there is downside. Let's see what happens next week against Army, although that's a very tough game to judge against, considering that they'll only see that offense once a year. So maybe the more fair judge is after the Baylor game coming up here in a couple of weeks, a Baylor team that lost to Duke. Incidentally, the other thing we've got to talk about is what's going on with the Will linebacker. Buzzy Bolton gets hurt, and instead of Caleb Kelly coming in to spell Buzzy Bolton for the one play that he was on the sidelines yesterday, it was Brian Meade, the walk-on, who got that opportunity. Not even Levi Draper, which I have to ask, where is Levi Draper? Why did he not get an opportunity to play, or hasn't got an opportunity to play all year long? And he's already used his red shirt. The only thing I can assume by that is that he's just not ready to play. And as far as Caleb Kelly goes, the coaches talk a good game, but I think the idea of redshirting him says a lot about where they see his development, and it not just being where it, and it's just not where it's supposed to be right now. In fact, let's listen to Lincoln Riley talk about what could happen with Caleb Kelly here in the next few weeks.
We're kind of evaluating that position right now. Caleb's done a good job, but we are, looking at, he is a guy that does have a redshirt year available. Not to say that that's what we're going to do, but you do this four-game deal starts to come into play, and so that was a factor in that decision. I don't know how that's going to play out. I don't want every headline now to say that we're going to redshirt Caleb Kelly. I don't know what we're going to do, but that was a factor in the decision-making process when we knew it was only going to be one snap.
Also says that they're not going to move him to the outside like we thought they were, and Mark Jackson has played so well at that position at the Jack that I wouldn't mess with it right now by putting Caleb Kelly out there, making Mark Jackson uncomfortable. And that seems to be something that Mike Stoops always takes into consideration, is not just one player, but everybody and the entire team. Here's what Mike Stoops had to say about Caleb Kelly's future at OU.
Yes. That's something we are looking at to see what, you know, what our options are there, you know, with the player and what's best for our program and for him. I mean, we're always in discussions with our players and what fits them as well. So we'd hate to waste a year just kind of rotating two guys of that magnitude. We feel like Caleb has a huge upside, and we want him to develop into the player that we think he can be.
TBD on Caleb Kelly, but I do honestly think that they will redshirt him. It just sounded too much like that's what they're going to do, despite what Lincoln Riley doesn't want in the headlines. That seems to be Caleb Kelly's future, and I'm sure we'll find out about that no later than midweek with OU, and I wouldn't be surprised if Lincoln Riley has some news on it tomorrow at his press conference. Real quick, I want to tell you about FanDuel, because FanDuel is more than just fantasy sports. If you're like me and you're not really into fantasy sports, that's all right. You can do a lot of things at FanDuel that are very cool, like Gridiron Pick'em, where you get to pick all the winning teams for Sunday's games. You don't have to do it against the spread, and $10,000 will be split amongst all the top pickers every week. And unlike a survivor pool, the prizing here is not all season long, so feel free to jump in at any time. You don't have to worry about not getting in on a survivor pool. Now, if you are a fantasy player, then you've got to check out the new tool that FanDuel has. It's called Guru. It makes building fantasy lineups simple, especially if you want to build the smarter lineups and really take advantage of the people that you're playing against every week. And it's for fans of all skill levels. So whether you're advanced or like me and not so advanced in the fantasy game, you can be confident that you're putting your best team out there every week. And it's responsive. It's a wizard-like draft experience that makes recommendation and provides tips based on who you're picking. So it takes a look at who you're picking, and then it responds to that and tells you the best players to go along with them. It's all right there at FanDuel. All you got to do is go to FanDuel.com, get with it, and take advantage of everything they have right at your fingertips. Coming up next, who made the biggest impression for the Big 12 this week? We'll tell you next.
This is Locked On Sooners, your team every day.
The Locked On Podcast Network is your number one local daily podcast network. Locked On Thunder will be back tomorrow, and we'll have another episode of Locked On Sooners on Tuesday on Stitcher, on Spotify, on Apple iTunes, on Alexa, at LockedOnSports.com, at LockedOnThunder.com. We are all over the place. And, of course, you can get any of our Locked On podcasts anytime you want on demand. The Big 8, a little bit of redemption on Sunday. It was good to see the Big 8 get back in the win column. I don't think anyone really expected TCU to beat Ohio State. And had they not had that meltdown, they were right there in contention. But a much better showing for the Frogs than I think a lot of people expected. Texas is going to get all the headlines, but if you ask me, the team that was most impressive on Saturday was Oklahoma State with their win over Boise State. Yes, I know, not a Power 5 school. I also know it was at Boone Pickens, but defensively, I haven't seen OSU, sorry, Freudian slip there. I've not seen OSU play that well in quite some time. In fact, I cannot even remember the last time I saw OSU be that physical on defense and fly to the ball as well as they did and get that much pressure on a quarterback. I think you might have to go back to when Les Miles was coach to remember the last time OSU had a defensive game that playing that physical. It was quite impressive to watch, even if it was against Boise State. And I thought Taylor Cornelius played all right. It was a little funny to watch him run. He looked like a brand new giraffe or a newborn giraffe, all wobbly and awkward, but Boise State really didn't have an answer for it. and Boise State's punter was terrible. Two huge plays for Oklahoma State on defense. A couple of block punts, and one even led to a touchdown. But congratulations to Oklahoma State. Congratulations to Kansas for being 2-1. And then Texas Tech with a dominating performance over Houston. It's good to see Tech being Tech. So for 1 week, I'm feeling a little bit better about the Big 12 than I had the last couple of weeks. The redemption they needed, they overall got. Oklahoma State, in my opinion, with the most impressive win, even though we will see Texas get all the headlines. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. We will be back on Tuesday with audio from Hollywood Brown and Kenneth Murray. And until Tuesday, we ask you to be safe. May God bless you and your family. Everybody love everybody. And always, peace, love, and Boomer Sooner.
You are Locked On Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell Alexa or Google to play podcasts Locked On. Don't worry, I won't finish. You get the idea.